Welcome aboard the Story Ark. I'm your captain, Kenny Mears, and let's take a voyage together. Families can be complicated. People come and go, live and die, marry and divorce, and sometimes live entirely different lives. But we are all still family, even if it does get a bit messy sometimes. Today's storyteller, John, comes to us from St. George, Utah, and has a story to tell about discovering who his father was. Here's John.
My name is John Harrison. I'm originally from the city of Detroit, Michigan. And I've been a storyteller throughout my life. My dad was a storyteller. My grandfathers were the storyteller, and I think it's in my DNA to tell stories. My public background in telling stories is back in 2000, I was selected by my office to be the public information officer for our agency in Colorado. And that's when I began to tell stories about activities going on there. And our division was five states, so I actually told stories about the agency in Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, sometimes Utah. So that's sort of my background. The title of my story is Hey Little Bro. And it's a story about me following what we call the moth storytelling technique, which I'm a big fan of, which means it has to be about you. It has to be true. It can involve anyone else. And it has to be about 5 to 7 minutes in length. And so that's kind of my orientation for telling this story. It's a story about finding out who my dad was, which in our family was a secret. And the story is actually told to me somewhat by my oldest sister, who had heard it from her dad. And that's sort of the backdrop of our story. Now, all of this takes place when I'm 5 and my sister is 9. So you can imagine the revelation when in the story I tell my audience that my sister leans down, puts her hand in cupping shape, like kids do when they tell a secret to one another, and whispers, "My dad is not your dad." And to make sure that I understood, she repeated it twice. "My dad is not your dad." So that's her big secret. And of course, now it's my secret. And that follows a pattern that we find in situations where people are adopted or are foundlings, like Harry Potter, who shows up on somebody's doorstep one day, or what we call misattributed parentage, which is what I was, where you have the name of someone on your birth certificate as your dad, but who is not your biological next of kin. And that's sort of, you know, what happened to me. So I am a genetic genealogist. I have been for since about 2014. When I decided to take a ancestry DNA test to find out and confirm who my family is. And for about 4 years, I didn't have any joy, as they say. All the people who matched me genetically were like ninth cousins, 10 times removed. Not really helpful. But in 2018, my dad's third cousin had taken a DNA test on Ancestry, and one morning he popped up as a match. And there's a way on Ancestry you can send somebody a chat and say, "Hey, it looks like we're related. Would you be interested in talking?" And so we exchanged some information for about a week, I gave him my phone number, and then Saturday morning he called me. And with that, I found out that he was holding on to records, which included information about my dad and how my grandpa George had immigrated from Scotland in 1927 and came to America and settled in Dearborn, Michigan, and got hired by Henry Ford, as in the Henry Ford, to build cars. Now, as it turned out, he wasn't the only one to leave Scotland. My grandpa's oldest sister, her name is Jean, she went to Edmonton, Canada, sort of straight up and a little bit to the left. And so they had migrated here, or immigrated here, and that's how our family started here in the States. I consider myself a second generation American. My parents being the first generation American. My mother's dad was Florentine Castillo, and he was an immigrant from Guatemala. So there's an interesting sidebar story there about how my grandfather, Frank, as we used to call him, who had a heavy Hispanic accent, wooed my grandmother, who at the time was living in Kentucky, who was a Scottish ancestral Southern belle. Now, can you imagine her Southern twang, like, how you all doing, and all that kind of stuff, and my grandfather's, you know, heavy Hispanic accent. I thought, how did this work? How did this courting take place? So my grandfather Frank was an avid storyteller. You couldn't stop him. He'd sit down and say, I'm feeling a story coming on. And he told us oral stories. My dad was the same way, which you learned from my granddad, being from Scotland. As we say in Scotland, we tell stories of legends, myths, and superstitions. That's just what we do. So with that, let me dive into my story. The story is entitled, Hey Little Brother. So whenever anyone asks me about my family, I tell them it's complicated. My story begins on a hot, muggy summer day in 1959, while I'm living in a one-bedroom studio apartment in the city of Detroit with my oldest sister, Betty, age 9, and my mother, Ann, and her live-in boyfriend, George. On that day, my sister Betty tells me that she has a big secret to tell me. I was intrigued and excited because up to this point in my life, I hadn't had any secrets. I was only 5. I hollered across the room in a low voice, "What is it?" She looked at me with the most serious look a 9-year-old could muster and put her index finger up to her lips, just like my kindergarten teacher used to do, signaling me to be quiet. Immediately afterwards, she did the strangest things. She cautiously walked over to the door to our room, stuck her head out, looked both ways to see if anybody was listening, stepped back, slowly shut the door, and locked it. Then she walked over to the only window in the room, looked out, looked both ways, reached up, locked the window, and slowly drew down the shade. Now, by this time, my 5-year-old imagination is running wild with anticipation as to what this secret could be. Betty finally walked over to me, bent down, and put her hand up to my ear in cupping shape and whispered, "My dad is not your dad." In that moment, I was overwhelmed and completely shocked. How could that be? I thought to myself, my last name is the same as hers. I was a Harrison. I had been a Harrison since the day I was born. Or so I thought. As time passed, I asked myself this question repeatedly. If my sister's dad is not my dad, and my mom's live-in boyfriend isn't my dad, then who's my dad? This question wouldn't be answered for 9 more years. It followed on the heels of a move from Detroit to the suburbs to the city called Dearborn Heights. We moved there with my mom, George, who she eventually married a few years prior, and included the birth of 3 more siblings. Our realtor was none other than my sister Betty's dad, whose name was Richard Harrison, who was listed as the father of record on my birth certificate. The two of them lived just 3 blocks away. I had since learned through the years that Richard had divorced my mother 4 years after my birth in 1958. In the summer of 1968, when I was 14, my mother received a telephone call from Richard Harrison. When she hung up the phone, she told me to go over to his house without explanation. When I arrived, Richard greeted me at the door and invited me into the house, where there was a middle-aged man standing in the middle of the room, wearing a very nice suit about my height. Upon introductions, I learned that this person's name was Ian. And during our conversation, I learned that Richard, my sister Betty's dad, my mother, Ann, and Ian all went to the same high school in Detroit. Ian chatted me up for the next 3 hours, and then he said his goodbyes and left. Afterwards, Richard said to me, "That's my father," as in my biological father. Now, for the next 15 years, my dad, Ian, and I would see one another infrequently by prearrangement through Richard. During these visits together, my dad never shared any information about his family, about his occupation, nor did he ever ask me about mine, even though I was married and had 4 kids, which means he was their grandfather. Our relationship as father and son took a 22-year hiatus following a new job that I had taken with the government and subsequently transferred out of state in 1987 until 2009. In 2009, my dad Ian and I corresponded about the circumstances of my birth. However, he declined to discuss the matter in detail, and I received no further contact from him afterwards. In September 2014, I felt prompted to type my dad's name into the internet. Within seconds, much to my surprise, his obituary appeared on the screen. He had died on June the 26th of that year. For several minutes, I just looked at it, processing what this would mean to our relationship. I felt sick inside that we would never be able to come to an understanding about our lives together as father and son. Then I read his obituary. It was the longest obituary I had ever read, a total of 2.5 pages online. The obituary was published on the mortuary's website. Nowadays, I found out that you can publish an obituary at any length, which my dad used to his advantage. for several weeks afterwards, I continued to read the obituary with great interest. It contained his family history and the story of his life. His obituary also included a roadmap for me to find his family, my family, our family. It answered my many questions about where my family was from, my heritage, his health history, and what he did for a living, and his greatest achievements, that included information about his second family, which he never talked about. In fact, my dad provided so much information in his obituary that my wife and I became suspicious about its true purpose and audience. I began to wonder who the obituary was written for. Given the size of my dad's family, everyone would have known all of the details mentioned except for me. Then it occurred to me that maybe he wrote that obituary for me, which gave me enough information to connect with my grandparents, my aunts, uncles, and cousins on three continents, and disclosed that we were descendants of Scottish Highlanders. And that is the story of Hey Little Brother.
The Story Arc is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode was written, produced, and edited by me, Kenny Mears. We'd like to thank today's storyteller, John Harrison, for sharing his story. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or wherever you listen to podcasts for more content. And until next time, thanks for listening.